1 Corinthians 13, 4. We'll read the 7. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Verse 8. Again, just in review, 1 Corinthians 13, brethren, is one of the most famous chapters in all of the Word of God. Remember, it's about one Christian grace, one fruit of the Spirit, one beautiful and excellent God-like Christian virtue that should be prominent in your life if you're a Christian. It was time, or rather this love, or this God-like love, this God-given love, this love that's not of this world, it is a love that we see so beautifully demonstrated in the life, the sufferings, and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13 was time for the Apostle Paul to answer the question that the Corinthian church had not asked him. 1 Corinthians 13 was Paul reproving the church, telling them, you've missed the mark. Let me show you a more extraordinarily better way. This more excellent way was no doubt what they lacked as a church. Beloved, we should never lack agape love as a church. They were full of knowledge. They could preach the truths of Christ. The Spirit of God had gifted many in the church, but in all of what they possessed, what they lacked as a church was this love, this agape love. What am I if I'm full of knowledge about God, but I have not love? What am I if my knowledge puffs me up, full of pride and not charity? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. If my knowledge about Christ puffs me up in my Christianity, I'm not motivated by agape love. I want to be motivated by everything that I do as a Christian by love to Christ. I may speak with many tongues the truths of Christ in many languages, but if I have not the love of Christ, I probably also speak in tongues of slander. Yes, I do wonderful things for the church and for my community, but without agape love, I will do them selfishly for my honor and glory and not for God's. You see, Christianity without this agape love is of no value. It is orthodox religion that loves itself rather than Christ, and it is powerless to save and to sanctify. A Christianity without love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul teaches us the virtues and characteristics of this agape love, this special, disinterested, sacrificial love, this love that is always giving of itself. This love is foreign to this world. It's not natural, remember. It's not inherent. It's not innate to any natural born son or daughter of Adam. Only those that are second born, born from above, have it. You must be born from incorruptible seed by the word of God if you would have this incorruptible love. Other world loves, earthly loves, will corrupt and fail. This world's loves. They will corrupt and fail. That's because they were not born of incorruptible seed, by the word of God. It's not a love that comes from God. Now, last time, beloved, charity is long-suffering and kind. Gracious and powerful yoke fellows, sisters, beautifully complement each other in the Christian life. If you're a Christian born again, then you should be long-suffering. You should be patient. You should be kind. Those Christian virtues and graces should grow in you. Being patient, long-suffering, and kind. The first characteristic of agape love in you is that you will be this long-spirited person. You won't be short-fused. You won't be easily provoked or angered. The second characteristic, you will be kind or gentle and courteous, as it means. Don't forget these two are the fourth and fifth fruit of the Spirit. In describing the next eight characteristics, if you remember this, Paul teaches us by teaching us what charity or agape love is not. He teaches us something positive by teaching us what it is not in the next eight examples in 1 Corinthians 13. So the first one was charity does not envy, it envieth not, meaning it's not jealous. We learned this last Sunday evening. It does not boil or burn angrily towards others for their good providences that God bestows upon them. When you see someone enjoying something that God's given them, or you see them blessed by God, or you see them prospering, you're glad for them. Charity does not envy. Charity is glad. But envy and jealousy will cause you to hate others for what they have or for who or what they are in the world. Beloved, that's not the love that comes from Christ. Agape love in you will cause you to not behave like this. Remember the Christless Pharisees, the chief priests, they hated Christ. Even an unregenerate governor saw that. He saw that they delivered him up for envy, and their envy led to their hatred of him. Christian, when envy rises up in you, you need to be alarmed. You need to mortify it and kill it. Now, as we move on this morning, 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I initially think of those, I used to see them in, I guess it was in Gulfport or Florida or whatever it was, those blowfish. Remember those blowfish? They boastful. Here, as with envy, we learn about what charity or agape love is by what it is not. We know what it looks like in someone's life by what it does not look like in someone's life. To vaunt yourself is to be vainglorious. It's to be like the blowfish. It's to be ostentatious, which means to be boastful or proud, or to be one who is a, Miss Weedy used this word, a braggart. I don't even have to define that for you. You know what that means. A braggart is always boasting in themselves. They brag about themselves. So charity does not vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It does not have an inflated opinion of itself. If agape love is in you, it will cause you to not vaunt or puff yourself up. It will cause you to not be boastful or proud. Now, when God saves us from our sins, we are many things. We are many things that we should not be, and God saves us. And we're like newborn babes. We have to be taught these truths, these virtues, these graces. We must begin to eat them. We must begin to depend upon the Lord to form them in us. We must grow in grace, in these graces, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. When the good seed is broadcast, we take it in and we cultivate it in our hearts. Let me show you Matthew 23. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. You know that's the famous chapter where the Lord Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees. "23:5, Jesus said of the scribes and Pharisees, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and they love greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They vaunt themselves." So we know that this is not a picture nor the imagery of agape love in someone who professes to be purely religious. It's the very opposite. Look at John 7:18. John chapter 7 and verse 18. John 7, the Gospel of John, 7 and verse 18. Jesus' words here, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So you see the first part, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." You don't have to turn to 1 Corinthians 8:1. The scripture there says, "Knowledge puffeth up." It's good. We need it. We must have the truth of God's word. But knowledge without charity, it puffs you up. It's boastful. It's proud. That's why we need knowledge with love. That's why Paul said, "Speak the truth in love." Beloved, we must use the knowledge that we have with agape love. Don't vaunt ourselves with it, because if so, we will harm more with the truth than help them. The truth can be dangerous when wielded without agape love. So we are not to boast or vaunt ourselves with it. Colossians 2:18. Colossians 2:18. Paul says here, "Let no man beguile you or defraud you or cheat you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen," and here's what I really want to get to, "vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." If you're puffed up, it's not the mind of Christ, it's your own vain, puffed up, fleshly mind. Beloved, agape love in you will cause you to cease from being a braggart or puffed up. Agape love in you will cause you to not be showy or call attention to yourself. You won't be vainly puffed up in your own fleshly mind. You won't be puffed up because you have great abilities. There are some among Christians whom God gifts with great abilities, but that agape love takes the edge and the pompousness of pride off of that life, and agape love presents that ability with humility in the world. Agape love in you, which is given to every believer in the new birth, must be cultivated in your life. As you grow and mature in the faith of Christ, agape love should and must abound and increase in your life. Paul told the Thessalonians, he rejoiced, and he says, "The charity of every one of you all aboundeth." It's abounding. And that's one of the sure tokens and marks of true Christianity in a church. And Paul wrote that letter, those letters, to the church at Thessalonica, which was a church to be commended. Beloved, that's to be our characteristic, is that there is to be agape love among us. We are not here to compete with one another or to participate in one-upsmanship, if you know what that is. For agape love to increase and abound in you, you must continue to pull the weeds and the poisonous plants of sin and the world out of your heart and mind. And you must continue to gather up the good seed of the word and cultivate it into your heart and mind, the incorruptible seed of the word. You are to be being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you do that? By a steady and good diet of the incorruptible seed of God's word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, imperative command. That's an imperative command. Imperative command means the commander is giving an order. Who is the commander? Christ. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing present tense of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You are to be being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4:22 says much the same, but Paul goes a little further there when he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, if you were one that lived your life as a lost sinner, full of pride and boastfulness, that's not who you are to be in Christ. And so you need to mortify your members or that part of your character that you used to be. Philippians 2:3, turn there. So you are to be being transformed. The more that agape love is formed in you, the more it will cause you to be humble. It will cause you to not vaunt or boast yourself. And listen, you can say that you have agape love in you, but do your attitudes and behavior match what you say or think about yourself? Now, look at this characteristic of agape love in action. Philippians 2:3. Excuse me. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, what mind? That mind that Paul just described. And this one, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross. If there's ever a perfect picture of one that did not vaunt himself, it's Christ. And he is one that could have boasted without sin, and yet he did not. When they would have made Jesus famous, if you study his life, what did Jesus do? He conveyed himself away from that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Look there. Romans 12:9. I love this passage. Paul says, let love be without dissimulation. Let it be genuine. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. What that means is consider your brethren as more worthy than yourself. He says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one to another. And here, brethren, mind not high things. Don't vaunt yourself. Don't be conceited. But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Romans 13:7. Just turn the page there. Another favorite portion. Owe no man anything but to agapeo, to love. It's the verb, to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. What's the definition of loving your neighbor? I just read it. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and don't covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, or agape, worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Consider our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, who was worthy of highness and glory. And he was worthy of honor when he trafficked in the midst of fallen humanity in the world. And yet he did not once vaunt or boast himself. He deflected all the glory to his Father. Christ is the picture of what humble love looks like in a person. Christ vaunted not himself, nor was he puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13:5, if you'll go back there, 1 Corinthians 13:5, charity or agape love doth not behave itself unseemly. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Once again, we learn about what agape is by what it is not. Agape love will cause you to not behave in a manner that is unseemly toward others, which means that you will not be ill-mannered. You know what it means to be ill-mannered, don't you? It means you have an ugly attitude. You're rude is what it means. It means to behave unseemly, which is to behave indecently, inappropriately, disgracefully, and in ways that are unbecoming of the name and person of Christ. If agape is in you, then, beloved, it will cause you to mortify those ways. If agape love is long-suffering and kind, if agape love is not envious but full of gladness when good things happen for the benefit of others, if agape love is not boastful or proud but modest, lowly, humble, and not showy, then, as Paul wrote here, agape love is also behavior that is beautifully befitting to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ-likeness. Paul rebuked the church at Corinth for behaving unseemly and disgracefully when they partook of the Lord's Supper. What we did this morning. Look at it in 1 Corinthians 11. Look there, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. Paul rebuked them for behaving disgracefully when they came to the Lord's table. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, you're coming together with unspiritual minds. You're coming together as a carnal people. Verse 21, he goes on, for in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So you can see clearly that the church at Corinth had behaved indecently and unseemly. To go on, their worship service had descended into rudeness, ugliness, and a demonstration of confusion, pride, and one-upsmanship. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, or 23, actually. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. You know what one-upsmanship is, right? I will one-up you. Paul says here, 1 Corinthians 14, 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? And then he stops and says, let all things be done unto edifying. And the question is all of that edifying all at one time? Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, orderly, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And then he rounds this out by saying, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. It was a confused assembly. Now, let me give you a few unseemly ways that you might have that must be mortified from your Christian life. When you say something sinful and then you justify your behavior by explaining it like this, that's just the way I am. That's to behave unseemly. Or I speak my mind. Agape love doesn't speak like this. Or you say, what you see is what you get. That's just tough. Well, did Christ teach this philosophy? He did not. Or when you butt into a conversation because your opinion needs to be heard, because your opinion is most certainly the right one, agape love doesn't behave like this either. Beloved, this leads us to beautifully to the next negative identifying characteristic of agape love. Agape love seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. This will be the last one we consider. Agape love does not insist on its own way. Agape love is not selfish. Agape love is not self-willed or self-centered. Agape love does not need to be heard. If agape love is in you, everything doesn't have to be your way. Remember that agape love comes from God, and it was beautifully illustrated in the person of Christ in the days of his humanity. And the Lord was always, beloved, selfless. He was always expending and spending himself for others, giving of himself. And don't miss here the words, seeketh not. Seeketh not is the Greek word zeteo, which means the process of carefully searching after something to learn. Charity in you will seek and search for ways to not be selfish and self-centered. Agape love does not seek or search for ways to please itself, but agape love, if it is in you, will selflessly seek and search for ways to please others. Agape love will always give of itself. You might think, well, that's not the way I'm wired. Well, you need to be spiritually rewired. We all do. There's selfishness and self-centeredness in all of us. You know, you think of Jesus' command. He says, love thy neighbor as thyself. How do we love ourselves? We love ourselves. Jesus says, love your neighbor like you would love yourself. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. We constantly need to be rewired. If you're honest with yourself, then I see that you will see that you need the doctrine of mortification to expend and expunge selfishness from you. To seek your own or to be selfish is diametrically opposed to the sacrificial, selfless, agape love that comes from Christ. Selfishness is unseemly. It's indecent. It's disgraceful for any and every child of God. Matthew 20, just listen. Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life a ransom for many. He was giving his life before his death. He was giving his life throughout his entire earthly and human life. Good example for husbands. Yes, Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. But husbands, it never tells the wife to give herself for you. It tells you, husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church, he never tells that to the woman. And how did Christ love the church? Gave himself for it. So husbands, the command is to you, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Paul in verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient or helpful or useful to others from my life. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. In other words, do that which is good for your brother or sister in Christ. Verse 33, Paul says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. We see the selflessness of Christ in the character of the Apostle Paul. And then Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. We just read it, but we'll read it again. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, which means consider your brethren as more worthy than yourself. Put them before you. Agape love seeketh not her own. So in closing, agape love is not boastful. You know, before we close, you think about this, and I pray that you go away from this with your marching orders for this day. I'm going away from this with a message from the Lord that I have some work to do in me. And so, beloved, I pray that whenever you leave, you'll take these things and take this good seed. Don't let the fowls of the air, don't let the devils come and pick up the good seed. Take it and cultivate it in your heart. You say, well, how do I do that? You go apart when you leave here and you think upon it. You go back and read the passages again. You read this passage and you take the good seed and you immerse yourself in it. You meditate upon it. You write it upon your heart. You ask God to weave it and intricately glue it and bond it to your character and to your person. You say, Lord, take your spirit and make this charity me, Lord. Let it be indicative of my life. And so, beloved, I pray when you leave, you'd say, I have work to do because I don't want there to be boastfulness in me. I don't want to be proud and puffed up. You examine your own life. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be disgraceful, unmannerly, ill-mannered. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be selfish or self-centered. And remember, when you read that agape, that charity, you could put Christ every place that charity is, because he is the definition of agape love. And so, brethren, I pray that the Lord would help you with this. Listen, this is probably one of the most important aspects of your Christian life. There are too many formal, or there's too much formal Christianity in the world that's dead and lifeless and rigid and hard and mean and not approachable. That's not agape love. Christ was the perfect, holy, sinless Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh, and people flocked to him. Sinners did. They flocked to him. Let that be the love that is in us, Lord. Let us show that. Let us not be rigid, holier than thou. Let us not be Pharisees in our Christianity, but let us have this agape love. Next time, agape is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. I hope when we look at this, we say, I want that and more of it. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer, teach you another scripture song. Father, thank you so much for your grace and kindness, your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this chapter in the Word of God. What a beautiful chapter it is. But Father, let us not look at the beauty of it as an object in the Scriptures. Let us look at the beauty of Christ. Let us know that this love is promised to your children. Father, that it will be in us. We want this agape love, Father, to be prevalent in our assembly for one reason and one reason only, that we would bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, O God, and that we would project from our persons that love, that the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, would be that love that goes forth from our lives. Father, help us. We need your grace. We need your help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.